Testing. All right. Yeah, I call it the Pledgy problem because I got all excited when I was coming up there. Well, I'm so excited to be here this morning, and I'm going to be preaching, and so you're going to be able to hear me this morning. And I just want you to be open and excited that God is speaking something today, and that God is able to move, and God is sharing something. And so I hope that let's play a little game. You guys can give me a smile. Look a little happy. That's good. That's good. All right. Every like 10 minutes, I would appreciate a smile. So, all right. Well, if you've been keeping up with us, we've been talking on the series of what man can't, God can. What man can't, God can. And so we're going to continue on that. And we talked about his presence. In his presence, we find our purpose. And so that was an awesome message for me. I really enjoyed that one that Moses said, God, if you don't go with us, regardless of the promise, regardless of the blessing, sending your angel before us, we want you with us. And then we also talked about his resurrection power. You know, our story didn't end with Jesus going to heaven. And now we're just reading the Bible and like learning history. He is now in you. And he is now working in you. And so that's something to smile about. That's something to be excited this morning, and I want to continue talking by sharing on participation. So we talked about presence, we talked about power, but what is our role? What is our participation? I believe as Christians, I know I have this question all the time, and we get so confused today, is we're always asking, okay, I'm saved, now what? Or, you know, do I just pray? If God is sovereign, do I have a part to play in Christianity? And if God's going to do what he's going to do, then what am I participating in? What is my role? And maybe you have that question this morning, so I hope that we can go through the Word of God and answer that today, and that God would speak to you. Our scripture for today that is going to be the basis for what we're talking about is 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. So if you'd open up to that with me. And this verse, these two verses, really this passage, I was a counselor at a kids' camp, and this was what they were memorizing. And this began, I knew this verse, we hear it all the time, but this really began working in me. And so let's look at it this morning, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, or a peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." And I don't want us to skip over that, and I'm going to start with what we always see. What is the one verse that we always see when we go through this? And I believe it's chosen people. Anytime people quote this verse, anytime, usually, not quite often do they finish the whole verse. It's like, but you are a chosen people. And we grab a hold of that, you know, I'm chosen, I'm special as a Christian, I have this and that. But I want to also look at that and remind that to be chosen, there had to be a chooser. And I think before we even talk about what's our participation in Christianity, what's our role, we have to be reminded that what I want to talk about today, this morning, our first point is chosen by him. Before, you're chosen because someone chose you. If I choose something, say, to use this, yeah, that person, that item is chosen, but that person or item had to be chosen by someone. And so there's people this morning that need to be reminded that before you chose God, God chose you. Before you had a way to God, God made a way to you. And that starts with Romans 3:10. If we pull it up, it says, I might be going faster than our team can keep up with, but it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable." And I just like to remind us, and I believe that we need to be reminded before we can continue to grow and learn from the Word of God, is that we did nothing to deserve salvation, and you do nothing to deserve salvation. Salvation was a free gift given to you by God. He made that way. He made that gift by sending His Son, because what man couldn't do, God could. And God initiated with you. He started with you. And so those of us that are hindered, that are being stopped from growing in Christ, or maybe even coming to Christ, is because we keep looking at what we've done wrong. We keep looking at our shortcomings or our unfaithfulness, our unworthiness, and that stops us from entering and receiving salvation because somehow we think we play a role or participation in salvation. What we're called to do is to receive it. We're called to receive it. And so that's what I want to remind you today, and maybe you're that person here today. Maybe that's been stopping you from growing. You'll never be worthy enough to receive salvation. That's why Jesus came and paid the price. So that's a basic reminder. We know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded of that because we quickly forget, and then we get confused about what is our role and how God works through us. And then later on in that verse, it says, we know this verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You were justified freely by Jesus Christ. And there's a second person that needs to be reminded that before you chose God, God chose you. It's those of us who are like the prodigal son's brother. That we see the sinners, we see those people who are doing bad, we see and we can rating people that they are deserving of hell, that this is what they deserve, this is where they should be, why are they even here? I want to remind you that before you chose God, God chose you. You had nothing to offer God, just like that person who doesn't know Christ has nothing to offer God. And so we need to remember that, because if we don't, then our gospel becomes altered, and we begin to share that we need to do something for the gospel to be effective. But our only call is to receive that which Christ did for us. I want to share that Jesus, you know, remind you, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you're that person here today that feels like you're the worst person in the world, you're exactly the person that God is offering salvation to today. Amen? All right, that's something to smile about. Man couldn't do it, so God made a way. You were chosen by Him. And the second thing I'd like to get into, we're going to go back often to our main verse, which is 1 Peter 2:9. And let's read it again. It says, but you are a chosen generation, watch this, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare or that you may proclaim the praises of Him who what? Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The second thing I'd like to bring to you is that you are called to Himself. Called to Himself. Jesus, God through Jesus Christ, called you out of darkness into Himself. If we are to become effective participators of the work that He's doing here, we need to understand that He called us first to Himself. There is nothing that we can do apart from being called by God. Let's look at it here. He called you into His marvelous light. You want to talk about purpose and participation? There's our purpose. There's our participation. He called you to Himself. He called you into His marvelous light. You were created to glorify God. And without God, your life makes no sense. That's why some people are confused today, because they keep trying to find an answer in something and then they never can fulfill what that answer is. Because without God, your life starts and your life ends. And there's nothing more to your life. The whole book of Ecclesiastes talks about that. You're here one day, gone the next. What's the point of hoarding up riches when you can't take it anywhere when you're done? But there is a point in our life. There is a point in what we do and the hard work that we do when we understand that we were called by God, called to Himself. We're going to read and confirm this with Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him. You were created through him and for him. In that lies your purpose. In that lies where you'll find how to actually walk out your role as being a Christian. You can't be irrelevant if you exist for his pleasure, for his glory, for his purpose, and for his honor. Each one of you today, we're not talking about the calling to be a pastor, and so many of us don't grow in Christ because we think, well, I'm not called to be a pastor. You don't have to be called to be a pastor. You're called into his marvelous light to proclaim the praises of him. So each one of you actually has significance in the life that you live, in the life that you show as you live to others. And so that's where we fit in what we talked about. In his presence, we find purpose. It's when you get called into his marvelous light, when you get called to him, that you understand that you begin to find your purpose and what your role is. Let's continue a little bit. We're going to go to Numbers 18:20. What a powerful verse. I want this pulled up. And it said, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share in your inheritance among the Israelites.'" I am your share in your inheritance among the Israelites. Is that something that we're showing to our children today? We could take our children to all the soccer games in the world, but do they see a father and a mother that honor the Lord? Do they see a father and mother that worship the Lord, their God? What is the main thing that we're sharing with our children? Because if he called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, then you have nothing of the world. He is your portion. He is your inheritance. And maybe you're unhappy today because you've been looking for your portion and inheritance somewhere here. I'm not talking about not working hard. I'm talking about what captivates our heart, what captures our heart. So can you make God your portion this morning? Even if you have, just be reminded, that's my purpose. That's where I find purpose. A royal priesthood. This is how we understand what our participation is. This is our main participation. Royal priesthood. What does royal represent? Royalty is king, right? It represents kings, authority. And priesthood represents priests. So when it talks about here, it says, and we're reminded that a king has what? Authority. And a priest has what? Access. A king has authority and a priest has access. And each one of you today, if you've been called into his marvelous light, then not only do you have authority, but your authority here on earth to participate in the work of God is directly linked to your access to him. You are a royal priesthood. And the royal priesthood that we're talking about is not a ministry specifically of like Sister Olga with the children's ministry or Pastor Tom with the lead pastor. It's you minister to God personally. Not that God has a need, but because he created you and called you to glorify him. And so that is why you minister to God. That's why you worship him. That's what we're called to do. And some of the greatest moves of God were through people who were insignificant, but they responded and they met a significant God. Some of the greatest moves of God were such simple people, were weird people sometimes, which kind of offends us, but they responded to an inward call of God. And each one of you has the opportunity and the calling to respond to the voice of God and his calling on your life. They began to study his word, not so they could read more books, but so they could get to know. They would lead them to the one who is the author and the finisher of their salvation. If you want to see mighty works in your life, get to know the one who moves those mighty works through you. If you want to be effective participator in your life, get to know the one who is able to produce that in you. Amen? And that just leads me to kind of think about it. I was thinking about it. When's the last time we ministered to God? And that goes back to talking about prayer. You know, we're always praying, and we pray, God, I need this. God, this is what's coming up. God, this. But when's the last time you took time to praise God? When's the last time you took to worship Him because He's worthy to be praised? You are all ministers to God in the sense that we were called to Him for His glory and for His purpose. And sometimes we can be a lot quicker to hand our children $20 instead of 20 minutes of intercessory prayer. Priests were also intercessors for the people. So your access to God is also for intercession for those around you. You will find a lot of effective work in your life when you begin to intercede for people based on what God called you to into His marvelous light. Not just some people were created to do mighty works. We were all given the opportunity and the calling to enter into His marvelous light. And let's continue studying this. This is the one where we're going to spend a little more time because it directly relates to our participation in everyday life. Point number three is called to proclaim. And we're just going to read that once again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This verse has completely changed my life. This verse has completely changed the way I view things and my purpose and my participation. You were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. I think we let that slide by us too fast sometimes. We need to slow down and understand that. Lord, what does that mean to us? What does that look like? We can find those answers, but the Holy Spirit will reveal them to us. You were once not a people, but now are a people. You have identity. And you could only work out of your identity and who you are. And so that's what God is calling us today. I think the question that is wrongly asked most of the time is, well, what can I do? And you look at that in young people, and it's always, what can I do and what can I not do? And they begin to set up, you know, these things. I'm thinking of, like, I wear glasses. They're really thick, so I wear contacts because they would look bad. And when I go to an eye doctor, he takes the thing and he takes the lens, and then he clicks something and a new lens pops in, and he says, how does that look? And I'm like, it looks all right, a little blurry. He changes it. He's like, is that better or worse? And when we were not a people of God, everything was blurry. We got an idea of something that we had to do. We got an idea of some way that the world tells us this and this what you should do, maybe even morals when they were still pretty strong in our country. This is what you can do, this is what you can't do, but it's still blurry. When we become the people of God, that's a new lens that we begin to see clearly the purpose of our lives, our participation in what we have to do here on earth. And that's for each one of us, every single person here. And that just like struck me, and I was thinking about that because the scripture says they had a veil over their eyes, but that veil was lifted in Christ. You might have known a little something about the Bible, but when you have the Holy Spirit, He begins to guide you and open up your eyes and speak to you so that you can be a participator of the work of God. There's more to your life than just building something here. We need to be able to proclaim the praises. Our lives need to show the praises of Him. There's people today that need to be reminded that we need to wake up and understand you have significance and you have a calling to do that. It's a responsibility. And I think I've changed that question now, and I think it would help so many young people is, am I representing God or am I lying about God? Because you as people who are called to participate, you now represent God. And so instead of asking, what can I do? And what can I do? And getting absorbed in yourself, that's where we go wrong. There are a whole bunch of young people that say, what can I do? And what can I do? And so they start looking, okay, I could do this. I can't do this. I could wear this. I can't wear this. And we begin to caught up in it because we keep looking at the through a lens of ourselves. And you begin to take on the role of God. And when you take on the role of God, you were never meant to carry the weight of standard, because God never changes. You were never meant to carry the weight of the burden to always be faithful. Because if you decide one way, I can wear this and I can't wear this, or I can do this and I can't do this, or I can't listen to this and I can't listen to that, then you have to be faithful to that. But we know as humans that we're always switching. Whatever we want to do, we just push the boundary a little further and take it back a little more. We see a pastor who does something, and so we push the boundary for ourselves a little more. And then we see a pastor who says something else, we pull something else back. And that's why we have so much trouble and confusion, and just we don't understand, and we feel chained and condemned. And then the devil comes in and he says, did God really say you can't do that? Just like he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. And he begins to make God seem like your enemy when God is your savior. And think about it. If we keep saying, what can I do and what can I do, it masks what is the true problem that we have in our hearts, that it's me. And so I begin to carry that, and I begin to view it through the lens of me, and so that I begin to consider God as my enemy, because my flesh is naturally opposed to God and the things of God. But when we view it correctly, and I ask myself, not should I, can I or can I not, does this represent God? I don't have to no longer carry the standard. God carries the standard. I no longer have to feel the weight of my burden or explain myself as to why I chose this and not this. God carries that. And it's the truth of God's word that determines what our lives are consisting of and how we represent him. And so now I'm free, and now sin is exposed. Because I want to get this correct. That now sin is exposed by the light. And think about it. Before it was what can I and what can I do, can I not do? And that was linking you to God being your enemy, or God being a boss, or God being something like that and dictating your life. But when you understand that you were once not a people, but now are the people of God, you're reminded that you were freed from sin and the bondage of sin and death. And now you're reminded that the reason I needed deliverance from that was because it never satisfied me. It never made me happy. So why do I want to go back? Maybe there's some of you tonight that are struggling with that, or today, I'm used to speaking at Elevate. Maybe some of you today are struggling with that because you're being tempted to go back because the enemy has made you think, well, God really say you can't do that? Instead of understanding that you now represent God. And you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You once did not have mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. And now that empowers me, and that exposes the enemy, and wow, I am grateful to be saved. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Why would I ever go back? I don't care what Egypt had to offer. It was slavery. And it was death. And now we begin to see that. And now we can be the friend of sinners. Look at what Jesus said as to what he does and why he was so effective at participating in the work of God. We're going to go to John 8:28. And we're just going to wait a second to let you guys scroll. Does anyone still use one of these today? It's pretty important. I asked someone, you know, it was about maybe 16 or 17 years old yesterday. We were at an event, and I'm like, how's it going since you came back from Bible school? And he's like, you know, it's hard. I struggle, And it just sometimes the people around me just really pressure me. I want to go back. I'm like, hey, do you have a Bible? He's like, yeah. I'm like, do you read it? Well, I don't have time. By the time I get to work, by the time I get here, I'm like, give it a try. Pretty soon, all your friends will be reading the Bible too. Because the Bible, the Word of God, points us to Him and gives us the power to walk through life by His Holy Spirit. And so let's open up John 8:28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father taught me. When we understand and when we represent God and His standard and what He does becomes in our lives, then we are able to win that conflict of what can I do and what can I do, because it's not about that. It's about representing God and bringing freedom to those around you and also in your own life. And I would just want to tell people today, and I want to even tell like young people, and I want to tell older people, and I want to tell everyone all these problems that we're having. You know, the devil wanted you to sell your body, but God wants to remind you that you were made in His image. See, we're thinking, what can I do and what can I do, when God reminds us who He is and that we were made in His image. And now it's no longer a question of which one of the two or how far I could go. It's what does God say about me and how does that affect my life? There's young people that we hear about all the time that want to commit suicide, and the devil wanted them to commit suicide, but God wants to remind them that He came to give them life. And also the devil wants them to take their life because he couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. And so it's not an issue of, well, they're getting raised up and stuff like that. It's an issue of understanding what Jesus did in our lives, and that He did not remain in that grave. He rose to give us life again. And there's some of us even that are struggling. I know with young people, it's the number one thing. God hates fun. But if I read the Bible and when I understand that I've received mercy, I have freedom. Now I have joy. And my eyes are open to what God has to offer. That's what I wanted to share with you today. That's what you need to understand. And that's how we're going to be able to start participating in His work. We are called to participate by proclaiming the praises of Him. That is not just like worship on Sunday morning. That is through your life. How many of us are glorifying God with the way we live? How many of us are glorifying God in what we do and what we say? You know, it doesn't start at 10:30 and end at 12 worshiping God. It's your life. It's what you do. It's everything that you say. And some people, especially, I know some people on my group, I guess, that they understand God up here, but they don't. But they continue to do whatever they want, and that's because God only fits in one place. He's not in your mind. He fits in your heart. And so when you've got God all figured out, when you understand who God is and what you can do, what you can't do, God becomes irrelevant to the picture because you figured God out, and now you just have this stuff where you can and can't do, and so you live your life thinking you're doing great. But God is in your heart, and you represent God, and you're called to represent God. And you were called out of darkness into a marvelous light so that you can worship Him and represent Him, not only how you talk, not only what you do, but in your work, how you look, how you act, how you speak, all that stuff. And that's what we're called to do. Once we understand that, then we can go out to those around us and offer them an example of a life changed by the gospel. And we can actually change the world around us. Jesus said, go into all the world to His disciples, but now we are in all the world. You don't have to go to Africa to be able to reach someone. There's plenty of people that need reaching today, and maybe even you need to be reached today. And so I want to remind you that, and I want us to begin feeding what we want to see grow. If you're struggling with something, begin to feed what you want to see grow. And the energy that you put into feeding it will not leave anything for the other thing to grow, and it will begin to die. Feed what you want to see grow and starve what you want to see die. Do you want to be more fed with the Word of God? Do you want to be more, I would say, effective participator? Begin to feed yourself with the Word of God, and you'll begin to see growth. One bite of Scripture, you're not going to save the world. But when we begin to feed the Word of God, when we begin to understand who He is and know our relationship, we begin to see signs and wonders happen. We begin to see the power of God. And I want to invite us again to begin to feed on God once again. Don't let me do it for you on Sunday or Pastor Tom. You learn to do it yourself. And then you won't need to say, well, that was a good sermon or a bad sermon. You won't be saying that was a good worship service or that was a bad worship service. You'll find a way to worship God. You'll find a way to hear from God in any situation. So that's what I wanted to share. And I'm going to, all right. I'm going to leave you with some applications. I don't know if I'm a little early, but it's fine. I'll let you guys out early. Applications. We got three of them. And so the first one is to represent, be present in His presence. You can't represent someone you don't know. Many of us don't know how to represent God because we don't know, if we haven't grown in knowing God. We've known Him to receive Him, but then it stopped there. If you want to represent God effectively in your life and participate in His work, get to know Him. There's a lot of ways to know Him. And there's a person He gives you to help you get to know Him. His name is the Holy Spirit. So get to know Him. How long has it been since you've read this book? Lifted your hands to praise Him instead of judging the worship team? Prayed as if He actually is hearing you? I mean, we pray a lot, but our prayers become repetitive because sometimes we don't believe that actually God is hearing them. If we took less time, less time to speak the words and more time to think about and reflect on who God is and then pray, we'll actually see and believe and see His wondrous work in our lives. That's we're going to confirm this with Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. You have made known to me the path of life. NKJV, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you want to know what is your role in life, God will let you know. And you can come to Him, and once you're present in His presence, you begin to know who He is so that you can represent Him correctly. So that your life is not lying about the character of God, but it's confirming the character of God. So that your life is not ineffective or inactive, but it's representing the life of Jesus Christ. The second thing is, if you believe, live it out. And if you look at the word believe, I can pull live out of there. So be living. We've all kind of polluted the word believe. And we've become like, I believe you. Someone lies to you. Yeah, I believe you. You know, the word believe means to behold and be sure. If it's not changing the way you live, you just think it's right. But you don't believe it's right. And so that's what we need to do in our lives, that just being reminded what I said earlier, there's only one place God fits, and it's in our hearts. He's chosen that because we can't comprehend Him. We can't figure Him out and all the things we have to do. It's a relational experience, and He wants us to believe, be living it out. And I'd like to challenge us and get us to think, if He's not powerful enough to you in your mind to change your life, then why should the people that you're preaching Him to accept Him? If He's not changing your life, but you're saying, come to Jesus, He's going to save you. The friends are looking at you like, yeah, what a savior. Not that we're all so perfect, but that we need to learn that we represent and live out who Christ is. And that's when we're going to see people coming to Christ, and they'll come to you and say, I need what you have. because we're living it out, not just thinking it out. And so let's begin living it out and believing. Are you going to believe God? And maybe you need to this morning. I'd like to confirm that with Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. When I say chosen by for participation, when we talk about called and chosen, all of you were called and chosen under grace. It says that God desires that all would be saved. Each one of you this morning have the ability to respond to God and to receive what he's offering today. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Our hearts cry out for Jesus. And let our lives show, come. Come, taste the Lord. See his goodness and his mercy. See how he changes lives. See what he's working in my life. And we can bring them and so that they can take free the gift of salvation. And the last thing is, don't align serving God with your schedule. Align your schedule with serving God. We're just going to take it really slow here because I like doing this stuff. So don't align serving God with your schedule. So we say, okay, God, say there's a calendar here. I have this. I'm going for my master's degree. I'm going for this job. I'm doing this on Saturday. I'm doing this on Friday. You want to pick a day where we can meet? That's not how we live our Christian life. Our Christian life says that, no, my schedule comes with serving God. And I didn't see change in my life I did see change in my life, but I didn't see effectiveness in my ministry until I surrendered my schedule to serving God. And he began to open up doors that I never would have had with my schedule. And how are we raising our kids? Are we saying you pick out everything you want to do, and then in the midst of that, find God? Or are we saying find God and all those other things which are good, you know, which are for us, which help us be effective with our lives? He'll begin to open the doors for them. And then it's not a pressure of, am I choosing the right college or am I not? It becomes, how am I representing Jesus where I am? And how can he work through me in my life? And that shifts the whole focus on God. And that's how we start becoming effective in our lives. He really changed my life when I began seeing him. Now, I'm doing this. And so, friends, if you have something you want to do, it's going to be around that. I'm not canceling anymore to have fun or to do this when I have to do something. And one of them was the youth ministry. So that's why I want to leave you with today, to represent, be present in this presence. If you believe, live it out. And then don't align serving God with your schedule. Align your schedule with serving God. And you guys will be able to see the power of God moving through you so mightily. You guys won't be sleeping anymore. You guys won't be down anymore. You will have times that are difficult, but you'll know who's your answer, your solution, and the author of your faith. And so that's what I want to leave you guys with today. And I want you to consider, and I just feel like this is the part that God really wants you to consider today. Before you chose God, God chose you. Whether that's so that you can once again share the gospel with those who really need it and not look down on them, or whether that's for you. Because you've been too busy looking through the lens of you and what you have to do and what you can and can't do when God says, it's all about me. So I hope you're blessed today, and let's just stand up and close in prayer. I hope to see you guys downstairs, and if you really enjoyed something, I'd love to hear from it. So, Father, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word, God. I pray resurrect in us again a desire to read your word, God, to pray, to praise you, Lord. You are worthy of all our praise, God. You are worthy of honor and glory, Lord. I'm done looking at myself. I'm done looking at whether I deserve salvation or not, because that takes away from what you paid the price for and what you want to do in my life. God, I'm starting to look to you. Instead of, can I do this or can I do this, I'm going to say, does this represent you? And no longer will I have to carry the burden of or the role of trying to be God. I'm going to let God be God, who is always faithful, who is always true, who is always correct. I'm going to let him define my life, God. We thank you for that. And I pray, God, like never before, for a wave, God, of people that are participating in your work, God. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles start to happen, God. The sick are healed. The dead are raised, God. The people who are oppressed and possessed, they'll be delivered. Because we began to put our eyes on you and began to be renewed in our minds. Lord, transform us by the renewing of our minds. I pray that we would be open and receptive to respond to your word this week and for the rest of our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Hey, I just want, can you, I just, I want Oleg to stay up here, and that was a challenging word. So it wasn't a word to say, okay, let's go downstairs and have coffee. It was, go downstairs, have coffee, have fellowship, but I want him up here to pray for you. If that's challenging to you, doesn't mean you're condemned. If it's challenging you, you need to come up and let him pray for you. That's a Holy Spirit word. It's always is when it comes from the Bible, but this is a new, this God's doing something, so please honor that, what God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to you. Let him pray for you. But thank you so much. Thank you, Oleg, and thank you, church. Amen.